Order, 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 order. The House will come to order immediately. Are there any select committee reports?
Playing computer games can help children learn. That was the message conveyed during the Education and Science Committee's inquiry into 21st century learning environments and digital literacy. The play-to-learn theory was put forward in a submission from teacher and game developer Edwin McRae, who said it could remedy children's learning problems.
There are many solutions. My personal solution is games. New Zealand children are already immersed in computer games that provide far more engagement, skill development, reinforcement, assessment and feedback than any traditional classroom could hope to manage. In a game, a student is told whether they've passed or failed, learned or missed the point on the spot. They usually have to wait a couple of weeks for a teacher to tell them that.
Mr. McRae gave the committee an idea of what software was available.
There's a brilliant American resource called iCivics.org. What they've done is they've built a number of games centred around exploring democracy, social responsibility, being active in democracy. And I know any number of game developers who could take exactly that American model and create a New Zealand version of it, so that students can explore the government in, I think, a much more engaging and reinforcing way than they're currently doing.
Mr. McRae said it's an ideal way to teach kids.
The student is so immersed in the material that they don't even notice that they're learning, but they're developing skills as they go, and that's something that actually games are extremely good at, which is very difficult to replicate in a traditional class.
Mr. McRae applauded efforts to get computers into schools, but said more needed to be done.
I'm here to ask you to help make the most of your vast investment into the technical infrastructure of education. You've upgraded the hardware, and we really thank you for that. Now it's time to update the software.
Teacher and game developer Edwin McRae. Another submission came from e-learning lead teacher Tara Taylor-Jorgensen. She said the current way of teaching was based on contradictions.
We open our learners' eyes to a range of 21st century tools, then measure their knowledge, allowing them to use only pencil and paper.
Ms. Taylor-Jorgensen had some recommendations.
Assess maths by students' ability to innovate and ask the right questions instead of giving the right answers. Assess reading with a combination of digital literacies and paper literacies. And how can we better value digital citizenship? How can we value all areas of the curriculum? It's not just reading, writing and maths.
Ms. Taylor-Jorgensen said a mix of old and new teaching methods was needed.
I think there should be a blend. Maths in particular is very heavily based on calculation, which is actually really unnecessary, because if I went to the supermarket with a $300 trolley of groceries and the checkout person started adding them up in their head using numeracy strategies from the New Zealand Numeracy Project, I'd be really concerned. I'd go, no, scan them. But if the machine ran out of tape and that checkout operator had to use their initiative and be innovative and work out a way to get around that machine or get the wireless backup or get the FBOS system going, that's what I expect. And that's not coming through our maths curriculum.
E-learning lead teacher Tara Taylor-Jorgensen. And another submission came from the Human Rights Commission's Disability Rights Commissioner, Paul Gibson. Mr. Gibson is partially blind and uses braille and assistive technology.
And many people, such as myself, it's not one of the ways to access information education within a 21st century learning environment. It may be the only way in a lot of cases.
Mr. Gibson provided some examples of that.
The most high-profile example globally is probably Stephen Hawking, who continues to be a leader in his field as a scientist and a science communicator. For people like myself, there was a period of my life for about 10 years where I didn't read a book until more technology became available, which meant that I returned to university as a mature student. That story is not uncommon.
The Human Rights Commission's Disability Rights Commissioner, Paul Gibson, providing evidence to the Education and Science Committee's inquiry into 21st century learning environments and digital literacy. Also this week, a last-minute change meant the Government Administration Committee was closed to the public, blocking access for those keen to hear Speaker Lockwood Smith's view on a bill changing the way MPs' salaries are set. The Clerk of the House, Mary Harris, has already voiced her concerns that the bill takes away the Speaker's power to set MPs' salaries and allowances and allocates that power instead to the Remuneration Authority. Ms. Harris said in June that the Remuneration Authority was ill-equipped to manage MPs' salaries and allowances, and her advice was that the Speaker should retain that role. The committee is due to report back on the Members of Parliament Remuneration and Services Bill by September 28. I'm Rhys Lyon reporting for parliamenttoday.co.nz with funding from the Office of the Clerk.